This is the continuation of session 8.
Is there any oral lineage? I mean,
well, no, that's just what we all see in the bridges, like three times at the very end.
I think it's from Sarah J.
they probably stole it from Sarah May. Anyway. I like it.
We may be
Sergey. We'll use it secretly. I mean, tell us tricks that you use that would help us. Like Petra's thing is really cool.
I found it was really powerful that when you meditated the first 45 minutes, then when I did the mantras, it was like, you know, it was gave me a lot more energy and much more focus.
I find that the last third of it, I'm duller. So I do the mantra then. And then the middle half, I'm really bright. And I do the deep meditation then. And then the preliminaries before that. I switched it after a while. Yeah, I like that.
That helped me a lot because I was stuck before.
Yeah. Like sitting tricks. You seem to sit really well.
Oh, yeah.
What's your secret?
My horse is for 10 years.
Sitting. Trick for me that works really well, I learned this in yoga, was when the body's feeling, you know, heavy or hurting or dense or whatever, I just think of like the inner body and the inside as if there's a string going up through the middle of my body, just pulling me up slightly. It's a very, very, very subtle thing. You just shift it really slightly, so it's not moving a leg or whatever, but it just like breathes some light into the whole situation, and it helps a lot. And I do that, you know, maybe 10 or more times in a sitting session.
I also do similar, but I would add down. It might strengthen. I think you can think up and down at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually put the butter on my chest, and it was one morning, and I woke up with it for the moment, and it got hot, and it burned away. It was nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean you woke up this morning? I just woke up one morning and I couldn't exhale completely. And mm-hmm. so I just, and it was before the first meditation, it was, you know, like 4:45 and over in the middle. Put the butter on, and then by, you know, the beginning of the meditation, it actually was warm and like it loosened it all up. And it was very, definitely cured it. And I drank lots of water and stuff like that. And fluid really helped me. Just feel like I was juiced up enough.
Nice question.
Sure.
You talked about an hour of deep meditation. Is that, do you mean visualization?
No. Yeah, you can do a one point of visualization. It can be a visualization.
What do you mean it's best for deep meditation?
That's a good place to start.
Yeah. Can change.
Well, later it would become a concept like emptiness or something like that. But to start learning jogom, one-pointed meditation is a visualization is very good, and this one is perfect. So, you know, just fix your mind on a single point of it, like jetokapa sitting on your head, and make it perfect. You know.
One trick I did in the beginning when I wasn't very fast with the mantra, and I wasn't counting on, so I found if I was just using the, well, if I was just using the mala to try and count all five lines, that I would get stuck and trip over the next line. So I just started using one bead per line to kind of help it move along. And that...
That's what it's also for.
Are these the people that did 5,000?
And I also have a question about the meditation objects.
Yeah.
If in the text it says you're supposed to stay on it for at least 6 months, like the same one,
I think it's true. I mean, the Lamrim says that you should stay on a single object for like up to 6 months or something like that. But I'm just saying you're not supposed to skip around and change objects every day, because then you don't get good at any of them. But I think once you get good at one, and to me, I get good at it, and then about two, three weeks later, I get dry on it. And then I don't think there's any particular month, you know what I mean? But I would, when you get dry on it and it's not moving anymore, then I would personally I move on. And usually it's 3 or 4 months. And then I'll just change my whole morning practice. I'll do a different, you know, I'll do Vajrasattva for a while, and then I'll change it every, personally I find about 3 months, but maybe it's different for different people. But I don't mean, the Lamrim does warn you not to flit around from visualization to visualization before you get good at the one you're on.
So it's okay
that,
say you do your 1 hour or 45 minutes or however much you can handle. So for some time, so you feel comfortable and good with one, you can do it within one practice, and then maybe switch to a different part, in a different practice.
Yeah.
So it's okay to switch, but still, that still counts as your...
Yeah.
As long as you don't switch before you're ready.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, I think much more dangerous and much more typical for Westerners is to try to do too much. You know, I mean, choose one. I mean, I think more dangerous than many meditation objects is much more typical is that people get 5 initiations, and they're rushing through. They're just reciting it, which in my mind has very, very little effect on your mind. You know, it is a blessing. It's a good thing. Like to do Tundruk and recite it is a big blessing. But if you don't examine your vows, if you don't do the book, which is the meaning of Tundruk, then I can't see that it will have much effect on you. And I've interviewed many Americans who've been practicing for 10 or 20 years, and they say, you know, I kept my commitments. I say, what did you do? And they say, I recited, and then I say, well, what else did you do? And they say, I don't know, I kept my commitment, you know. And they're not different. They didn't improve. They didn't make any progress. Nothing's happening in their life, you know, because the meaning of those things is to visualize them, you know, and slowly and perfectly. And then the meaning of Tundruk is to stop and check your vows. And write down how you're doing and things like that. So I'd say much more dangerous is trying to do too much in the morning. Make a sweet practice and stick to it for a while, but don't try to. Even in the Tibetan monasteries, we do 3 hours of reciting in the morning in the tzok, and they'll do four dakyes. And I personally can't imagine how anyone can concentrate, you know, in 3 hours straight. And I can't judge other people. I don't know what other monks are thinking, but a lot of them are asleep, or you know, or like that, you know, and I can't imagine that you can do it, unless you're highly advanced or something, that you can quickly recite Gandhagyama, you know. That's how fast they go, for 3 hours. And I just imagine that each abbot, you know, over the course of the last 500 years, said, you know, this is a really important prayer. We should do this one in the morning, too. And then somewhere around the 18th century, it became impossible to concentrate on it. You know, I don't know. But I personally think Americans should, you know, you should do something slowly, nicely, sweetly. Take an hour, you know, like that. And I'm just warning you against jamming too many things into your daily practice. Okay.
Now we only take suggestions, not questions.
Okay.
suggestions. My thing was just with the sitting, just to stay with this topic. At the beginning, I really prompted with the knees and with the back and with whatever. I mean, it was just hurting. And you have this this urge then just to put one cushion more on her, and one cushion more, and one more, and so on. And then I think at the evening of the first, January 1st, I just put them all the way, and it just had think like this, nothing more. And it worked perfectly. Probably it sounds completely different for others, but it's just to change a pattern from putting something underneath to come to the normal position of like a chair, like I'm sitting right now, which is more like a chair, so it's like you have the feeling of communion. So putting something under, just try to inverse it and just try to put something away. Just try, maybe working, you know, I don't know.
I have one. I had a night where my brain was just really hyper and I was running object to object and I just couldn't concentrate and I was starting to feel sort of giddy and frustrated, and so I started singing and I started doing the invocation and it like worked really well immediately, and then I did the entire practice in like a musical.
It worked so well, and I had like showgirls and stuff. And they were like fireworks at the end. It was great.
You win. Best visual.
I was also
a surprise.
The thing that really worked when the visualization started to feel really sort of artificial and forced and like it's not been really flat. And it was what Geshe said before about the Buddha's there, like because of the quality of the Buddha's mind, like they're completely there. It's not like something we're faking. And that really, like all of a sudden I'd be like, oh my god, the Buddha sometimes on top of my that story, when Abhigya Saga was in retreat for like years and years and years and meditating on Maitreya, and like suddenly, finally, you know, he's all frustrated and he keeps trying to leave and coming back and leaving and coming back, and suddenly he gets this vision of Maitreya, and Maitreya's like, look, I've been here the whole time, look, you spin on my robe. Obstacles that we're not seeing, it's like they're just right there, and that would help really just get somewhere.
I was finding that there was a lot, I was getting a lot of stuff to visualize and, you know, the whole preliminaries and everything, and I really wanted to be connected to all of it and feel it all. So I spent some time learning the mantra, you know, and not worrying so much about getting the visualization perfect. I learned the mantra so that I could get that and say that mantra while I was doing all the visualization. So I kind of spend time on seeing the pictures and not learning so much about the mantra and just giving each thing time. That helped me.
Like Kelly, I found it difficult to recite the mantra and visualize at the same time, so I would cut them. And I think it was difficult to have some camera come to me in a form. So I had to put him on the beach, and he's just come out of the surf.
I like it. I didn't catch that.
He'd be hanging out.
I noticed that when I ask for a napkin, I ask really nicely.
The sleep issue.
During the meditation or after?
Because after not sleeping enough, I didn't need to sleep at all. All that I had was a fear what will happen the next night.
By the way, you get this when you don't sleep for two nights. Then you think you're reaching some new plateau, and then you don't have to sleep, and that's wrong. And then you're going to go crazy about two nights after that. So it's a fallacy, which you're about to say, I think, but it doesn't. If you don't sleep for two nights, do something about it, because you're not reaching some new spiritual state. You know, you're just about to take your clothes off and run around. Okay. All right. It's important to know that. It's important to know that.
Well, I had I told a few friends that one of the dreams, like the night, this night was like them teaching the Dharma to a very stubborn friend who would be the last one to even want to hear Dharma, and a successful person on Wall Street, and he was listening, and he really was interested in her, so. Oh, it works. In the dream. The other comment I had was about the silence. I mean, there was silence, but it wasn't always kept. And I myself broke it several times. But there were times where I really wanted silence around me, because I was still in that meditative, somewhat meditative state, and it really bothered me when people weren't sensitive to it. So maybe the notion is that the silence isn't just for all your own practice, but it's also respecting other people's practice. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. And I myself broke it sometimes, but I just stressing that point at the beginning. Mm-hmm.
I'm still processing.
I had a problem with the visualization, and then same thing Patrick said when you said that they've been following you all around. I saw it another way. I saw it that you were saying they've been following me around, and people in my life. And I just thought of, like, you know, Bob Dylan's eyes, like, because I had a problem with my train. I was like,
and then a lot of things changed, like, in the second day, or like 3 or 4 days. I don't remember. I lost track of time. I really was confused when it was over. I had no idea it was New Year's Eve when that bell was out. I was like, what? But I was in a lot of pain. In the beginning, I had a lot of pain in my back, and I realized I didn't prepare to go on retreat at all. I went, you know, home and went through crazy stuff, you know, just, and I literally got in the airport and met Michael Wick and came down here. And I think that it's important to take the time to really, I learned to take the time to go on retreat, and the thing that you said about the state that you're in caused a lot. I just felt like I walked in like this to the retreat, and I'm a homeopath herbalist, and I was like, I took a lot of Advil, which I haven't taken in years and years and years, and I used a heating pad, which I'm totally against, and I was
so happy that there were and that really
helped me. And I took them intensely for one day, and then it let me get past it. So that was really nice. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It helped to enjoy whatever way it comes. If you enjoy it, it works better. I think this was sort of stuff before, and not to fight the day, and if it causes stress, that will ruin it too. So be really gentle on yourself. But then, you know, there's a full repertoire in Geshe-la as far as many, many things. It's just what works at the time. Something will come at you. Like hearing for the first time about bubbles.
It was like a good barometer of room for me.
Several things helped. What Geshe-la said helped about really struggling with it, but also I did get about a quarter of a cup of coffee, and that helped a lot. Mm-hmm. I had a feeling that I was falling, even when I was standing up. Just like I was moving down, and somehow it really helped.
I tried a little coffee, first time I've ever done it, and it worked really good. I don't know, maybe it's dangerous. You know, right when I was getting dull, I tried it. It helped a lot. So
I think the thing that really helped tonight was I had trouble visualizing, and so what I did was I tried to kind of like get to know Tsongkhapa in my own way, and he sort of had a personality, and I tried to get to know him in that way and try to respect. I didn't want to sort of see him like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might have just been my own sort of thing, but yeah, I wanted to know him as a person, so I tried to develop a relationship with him. And I had many conversations with him. This was good, having conversations with him.
Yeah,
good. Mm-hmm. And I think really also being very, when it got really difficult, I found that really asking for help
is
the biggest thing for me. And, like, from my heart.
You can call her on the phone one day.
What's that?
The phone rang one day.
I was feeling bogged down by my mental afflictions. I was feeling really, really like, this is hopeless. I'm going to hell. And then I was like, I'm never going to get out of here. For some reason, my mind went to the story of this guy who killed all these people and still reached all these high spiritual realizations in this lifetime. So I was like, yeah, I'll bring him on, right? Killed 999 people. I'm like, I didn't kill anybody that I remember this lifetime. I said, I can do it. And I was just like, I just got this really kind of kick-ass attitude about it, you know? Like, this is enough, you know? This is just enough, and I'm just going to do it. I'm going to be like that guy. I'm not worse than that guy, probably. You know? He probably had some hatred in his heart when he was killing at least one of those people, you know? So then, if he had that, and he could still be up, then that really helped me. Like, I just got this really kick-ass attitude about it. I mean, just from that, from thinking of people who did it, you know? But that was really cool. And the other thing is to get really good exercise every day. That was so good. And I just made myself do it.
Yep.
You know? Like, I was tired, I felt sick, and I was like, you can exercise and do it for half an hour. And it really helped my meditation.
That's really good.
I exercise in like this much space, but you know, you just do it, and it's embarrassing sometimes for other people. I found that really important too, to do exercise. Mm-hmm.
One time I went to the kitchen at night, and I ate a whole bunch of butter.
And it felt kind of weird because there was a sign on the door that said, you know, staff only. I put some butter out so I could just eat it whenever I wanted to.
Is that right? He thought I was a mice. Did it help?
Yeah. I didn't want to wake up with the feeling in my stomach of, you know, just having eaten before I went to sleep. So I stayed up for a really long time trying to fall asleep, but I couldn't. And then so I went to sleep right away.
One meditation when we finished, I was like really spaced and like, and I was when I walked through the hall, all the stuff around the hall like freaked me out, and I said, "This is a really dangerous place. Like, I'll handle it all. I go like this, and I'll get out of here." But it was like, if someone really freaked out, that was really dangerous, I think. Yeah. So I'm just thinking, maybe it'd be good if it was a little cleared out.
Let me explain the hall, okay? The hall and the library, part of the contract we have with the previous owners is that we preserve, his papers and his degrees and stuff. And they're supposed to come and organize them and sort of put them in a big photo album, and we can put it in the library somewhere.
Maybe we could put a curtain over.
Yeah. I think what I'd like to see, if someone ever wanted to work on it, is a brief description of his holy deeds, you know. He saved maybe 5 million children or something. I mean, that's something. And that's enough. You don't need all the dancing medals and stuff he got. and put it in the, you know, make it a beautiful, peaceful thing in there. It would be really nice.
Yes, I knew that. On the other hand, if you had a lot of lung it, you could go read that stuff and it would bring you right down. I mean, it could serve both purposes.
Yeah, I would like to see it cleaned out. We kind of, the previous owner has been ill, and so the work that she was supposed to do, and we didn't want to impose on her by saying, you know, hurry up, because she was been ill, but we'll try.
Maybe the way we cover the
window. Yeah, we could cover it. Yeah. Yeah, I read that one plaque 50 times.
I found when I was losing the plot and it was getting a bit dry, that I started remembering the words in English, and they're so beautiful that that made it really important. And also, I hit the coffee with him.
Little bit, medicinal.
Just that it helped me a lot that the food was so good, not too delicious. Yeah.
Standing on it. Yeah. He didn't like the food.
I thought after the first meditative nap was key. I mean, like, because I had incredible dreams. Like, especially it seemed like the most powerful meditation for me was the first one in the morning, and the dreams were just so they're just so vivid, you know. And
yeah,
it's nice.
Yeah, you have to remember the kusha, okay? Like all that stuff, it helps. It makes it very great.
I always seem to have a, like, I dream a lot, and every time I put that kusha under my bed, it freezes. I don't remember anything. You know, like every time.
Kusha
agent. Yeah. It's weird.
It's supposed to work the opposite.
I guess Michael was really right on. I appreciate that. That you have to see the visualize the image as a real being. And some special Another thing that was good is to perhaps make offerings. He's coming from the sheet that you want to present offerings first. Then it's real being here.
Why don't you
make
offerings for the tree?
I think it's difficult to do the tree and do the kitchen. Visualizing tofu.
See, that's why it's good.
Maybe that's why it works. So I think mosaic was a good idea.
Yeah, I think we canceled the work for people. I think it's important not to work in the image.
Yeah.
Aside from how boring it is to wash dishes. I think when you're in a deep retreat, it's very good to try to get someone else to take care of those things. It says in the retreat manual.
I felt enormously grateful because I kept wanting to help and saying, well, I'm not supposed to work. And they were working so hard, and I was so grateful. It was like, gosh, you know, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody was working so hard, like Amber.
Amber, really.
Amber.
It's actually Amber's turn now.
She's too bad.
Maybe after she stops turning my
turn. I was just saying good afternoon. Thank you for letting me call up with my. Although I wasn't able to make this trip with me, maybe how it was supposed to be. I really find it helpful to scrub toilets. I find it really beneficial for my meditation. And you got an amazing. So thank you. I think my mind is great. Well, I found that really helpful.
I found it nice that this was a group retreat. Because I did all this meditation, and meditation went well, and you know, I could concentrate. And then I got up.
I was so happy that these people were, you know, passing my way, sometimes meaning something very nicely with a good motivation, but it came at the wrong time or whatever. And so I was so happy that I could control that, you know, I'm not a saint already, even though my meditation went well, and I could control, okay, how far am I really, you know, what, you know, am I lying to myself, you know, with this nice meditation which I had once, and then right afterwards, you know, so.
And to practice your vows.
So that was very helpful to me, even though, of course, sometimes silence was broken, or, you know, things happen, you couldn't concentrate, you didn't know where to do your other practice and stuff like that, but I happily took that and had this control, this measurement, you know. And I don't know how that works, you know, if we are in deep retreat, you know, you're, you know, like 6 weeks, you know, you think, oh, you know, I'm making it, you know, wow, you know, I'm better and better, and then you come out and then boom, you know? So you have a real shock after 6 weeks. I would get probably after 6 weeks, and then see my fourth affliction still being there. So now I get like, you know, going back and forth and could refine it every time and consider it. Now you have to be really careful and now try again and then go back to meditation and then go out and try again. How good, how alert am I right now? You know, how far can I see? Okay, this is an empty situation. So you know, look at it really. And so, that was nice. I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that.
And
well, sort of like Elizabeth, you know, at first I thought, you know, I actually struggled a lot. And I kept thinking, actually, when the nectar first was coming down, I was very nauseous.
I was like, okay,
I'm right next to my llama, and I'm getting nauseous with nectar. I'm definitely going to hell. And, and a few things helped, and one was to stop looking at the visualization, and which I'm not very good at anyway, and really think about the mantra, and especially someone talk, you know, kind of attacking my mental afflictions and saying, now, wait a second, then you're saying that your mind only, right? Because something isn't going to change, right? Because so, John didn't help. And the other thing that helped was all of you, presence, everyone working, because it felt like, you know, I owed it to really work, and so I couldn't get up, I couldn't stop, and I actually got to a place where I knew I was going to have to get, that was kind of scary for me, and I couldn't have done it without everybody here, and so I thank everybody.
One question to this, you said also you started this debate in your head. Is this something like pre-accident or something which is which you should try to avoid, or is something which you said is good to do? Or because I had also I had this one day I had really a big debate in my head, and afterwards I was very happy about it because it helped me very much. But is this something which belongs to the praxis, or is something which you would actually say it's more turning you away from what you're supposed to do?
I don't think it's a distraction. I think it's a chiglum. And, to, you know, that's a real chiglum. When you're arguing with your own mind, that's a good chiglum. I wouldn't say it's a distraction. There's this thing of turning distractions into the practice. You know, if you start thinking about your mother and then practice on her, you know, like that.
I find it really helpful to know why some things were happening, like outbursts of laughter were because of wounds, or outbursts of anger or like that were just because it was backstage meditation. And I think it would be useful to know more what manifestations one takes and what are the other kinds of stages you can expect, so you don't waste time thinking of them as self-existent.
I've only been to God's Door three times. Each time it's been working to help things happen for other people. And I honestly don't know if I know how to have a retreat in any other way. And so thank you, because my lessons, many of them are learned outside of this room, but it was just really nice in meditations camp, cleaning dishes and putting things together furiously and quickly, and then coming in here and getting a feeling of what was going on, and not necessarily like now I'll sit back and we'll all put our notes together and try to get what we need in order to take away so we can do the retreat. But thank you for letting me serve you.
Drowsiness and dullness is a big problem this week in meditating. And the mantra came in handy that it was a perfect antidote to the train banging on my leg.
I prayed to the Buddhist and
I'm crazy and got naked. I saw him meditate more.
Nobody got crazy and got naked.
Hard act to follow.
Obviously, my retreat was quite different than yours. Mine started about 4 months ago, getting really close. And, I don't know. I guess the people that are the staff people have an advantage in one respect because we're not present in the way that you are. But on the other hand, I think it's important for us to dedicate the virtue that we're earning. And maybe we won't do the meditation in this retreat, but hopefully that will carry over into the future. And I find it pretty helpful to do these types of retreats coming from the Zen background because that's a big focus in that practice is serving others. And I urge people who might be interested in volunteering at Costco. We have several people who come forward as cooks, volunteering to be cooks and so on. To take the opportunity to do that because it can be a lot of fun and a challenge as well.
I just think everybody made a really good group. It was a really powerful group effort towards a very holy goal. And it was very inspiring for me to sit here with everybody who were thinking about such holy thoughts. And it was really great. Thank you, everyone.
We're way over time, but it was really important for everyone to have this opportunity. Because I know sometimes people are very quiet, and until they are given a chance, they have such beautiful things to say. So, sorry for going over time. Kelly wanted to say one thing.
Yeah, thank you.
I got a note.
Actually, I really forgot this, and I think everybody in this room can relate to me because we were talking about it. One of the biggest things that helped me was watching Geshe-la and watching him blow his nose and watching him do all these things like pass chocolate around on the tree. These things that I get so intense on myself about that actually I don't help myself by getting so hard on myself. So watching Geshe-la do all these things that allowed me to feel normal and okay made me just so much at such ease with myself, and everybody in this room, I think, just really felt that way watching you and Geshe-la.
That's true.
Do you have any comments?
I always get the most out of everything because you know because you humor me, so you know. Just thank you very much. Because I think I'm the luckiest person here. And I get the most virtue, you know. I think just the most blessing. So, you know, for me it's a very holy time. And I feel very fortunate to have you people. And that we're all together is very rare. And for me, it's just very much a blessing. So I often feel that I'm the person getting the most. So I thank you for that. Mm-hmm.
That's all. We have another topic, which is...
Oh, the Freilich?
Wait.
Hold on a second. I'll just put the batteries in.
Wait a second. I know we're running late. We're going to have a short three lists, 5 minutes.
How about 5 hours?
Any comments about your list? No, the only comment I have is to do it tomorrow. Start tomorrow. And don't break the day. If you don't break the first 5-6 days, you'll get in the habit. If you give yourself a day off in the next week or so, you can forget it. So start tomorrow. It's the most important thing. And just anybody.
This is a question that a bunch of us have been talking about, me and myself, and it's about the options and people wanting to eat we weren't sure if that was right.
And harm and on the tree. On home, get home when you're out there, and is it different on the tree?
He asked about eating the cookies. I think it's very dangerous to get into the habit. Personally, I wouldn't. It's a very bad thing to eat them while they're on the tree. and then personally, I think it's very dangerous even afterwards. To me, the best offerings are totally selfless and no self interest at all. Like, take a dollar bill and throw it in the ocean or something is a good offering to me. So, you know, I think ideally not to use them yourself is the purest way to make offerings. Yeah.
What about when people give you cookies from their altar?
Then I think it's okay. But I just wouldn't get in the habit, you know. Yeah, I think you have to vote yourself about not to upset other people and say, I can't eat the cookies, you know. But I think it's a bad habit. I think offering should be self. Totally selfless, nothing in it for yourself, but an offering. Mm-hmm. Even the pleasure you might get a week later from an old cookie or something like that. I think even that.
So what should you do with them?
Oh, they say throw them out where someone won't step on them or walk on them. There's a big debate whether you should offer them animals or not. Rinpoche says no, should not. It'll make them sick. It's too powerful for them. But then he throws them out in the woods in his backyard, and animals do eat them, and he likes that. So, I think not purposely feed it to animals, but to put it in. They say in a body of water is perfect, like the ocean or a lake, or leave them in a forest or something like that. But definitely not to throw them out with the regular garbage. I think in Manhattan, I put them in a separate bag, and I put the bag in the garbage because I. There's not much else you can do. I think you have to just treat them special. You're never supposed to walk on them or step on them or anything like that.
How about like bringing them to the workplace for other people too?
That's great. It's a big mitzvah.
So you can give them all
it's ashram. In Mongolian they call it ashram. In Hindi prasad. It's a good idea. Yeah, okay. Yeah, serve it to your friends. And, yeah. At work, take them to work is great.
What about the things that you meant to offer, like all the leftover offerings that didn't get offered?
I treat them the same as offerings. Yeah. In your mind, you've already committed them to offering. So.
This people it's another question.
Comment.
Yeah.
Good.
I think the list is the right idea. Because I think that really helps you move out of the tree. Your mind is starting to focus because I know coming out of the tree is really difficult for me. I want to stay in the tree. So doing a list really helps me in a sense like I'm moving that energy that I've created in my tree and moving it onto something really positive in my life. So it doesn't make it feel so empty when I move out of the tree. So it's really helpful. I like that idea.
Yeah. I have a comment about the principles, the goals. I found myself when I was doing that is that I have been thinking about those things for a while now, and it's like it was pretty set already before I came here. So I was just organizing things, and then when I looked at it, I said, "This is very reasonable, but really, really, what I want is not so reasonable." And I didn't dare to put it on the list. I know I can't do much about it this year, but then I put like, okay, there's something there far away at the end.
What I think, what seems to me, for me, very important is to keep it flexible. I mean, the list, I think is good to have a kind of outline or something like this to follow, but it's, I mean, you will have your daily changes and you will have necessities to do something on it whatsoever, and it will be really daily. So it shouldn't be a kind of cage for yourself. It shouldn't be something which you can hold on, but it should not be something which kinds of restricts you. I think that's very important for myself, because this, even if you think that, I mean, if you make them and you have the idea, you put all the things that you learned during the retreat in there, can be something which restricts you too much. And I think what I guess for myself is very important is to say, this is the way I want to, and I try to go this way, but I have to do it on a daily basis. I have to know today, whatever, just an example, if something going on in a job and you have a project which is really important, you can probably change something in your schedule because you go home later or something like this. And you have to be flexible like this. You can't just cut the things off. And if same way other round, I think if the meditation is going really well and you sit there 15 minutes longer, it's great. So I think that's for me very important, not to say it as a restriction, but as a kind of guideline. Yes.
I think. Lung is a oral blessing, and it's important to have your mind in the right place. So get comfortable, and then listen carefully. Then the blessing comes from hearing it, and then you pass it on to other people. And I think what's beautiful about Tibetan Buddhism to me is that the Lung and the teachings have come so purely through the lineage, from teacher to student, ever since Lord Buddha. It's clearly what Lord Buddha taught is what we're being taught. And to me, that's very, it's amazing, over 2,500 years unbroken. So then to take a Lung or to receive a Lung is an additional responsibility on your part to pass it on and not let the lineage dead end with you. Okay? All right. Hearing on. Okay. This will be the full version, and someday you should get teachings on the other lines that we didn't do. Yeah, okay. Nen lage gunge dugane rabga josa bunde jinzenza chege gyabo gunge losanda zedan jeba nende shiksu su dunge nanga senti bende den jatun lama gebe zunga chen dala debe sunam shinjo du temba geche kagyo shiksu su Sheje Gingun Jawe Lodu to Gasan Nawe Gingyo Lexes Tabe Belgir Lame Zebe Gu Dunder Dembe Dinden Lachaza Yuan Chuyen Nazo Meto Dan Dishin Dube Nasel Tichab So Musham Yutu Chutin Gasun Dear Sunam Shinjo Kyuna Chabambu Kashi Tome Dunya Sabah Yer Lunga Yige Mige Chigir Dan Kepa Domba Sumge Mitun Cho Nime Gyopa Drape Soso Sha Nime Dunde Mantu Dumla Tsun Chuke Abambe Dantra Dunye Che Gumbo Kyoke Labjen Tseba La Dacha Sampa Tabe Yirang Chetun Lama Damba Kenam Kya Chukka Kala Kense Chunsen Ti Cheta Tsambe Duje Tsema La Sabke Chuke Chaba Abtu Su Daki jini sabi gyawan di dindan drawa kuna kambendang Keba jatsun losan drapa yi dembe nimbo rindu se je sho Tusam gombe shira pedu zu jatsu tsombe lodu gyesu su Chotan tumong udu tsadu zu nyudu geran dabu jingye lom Techen nengye yeshe jadu zu, ngunzin tupe tima sadu zu, semni tetsum tawa jadu zu, nyudu keran tabu jingye lu, tusam gombe shira pedu zu, chetsu tsumbe lodu gyesu zu, chotan tumo ngudu zadu zu, nyudu keran tabu jingye lu, techen nengye yeshe jadu zu, ngunzin tupe tima sadu zu, Semni tetsum tawa jidu su, nyudu keran tabu jingye lo. Tusam gombe shira pedu su, chetsu tsambe lodu gesu su. Chodan tumu ngudu tsadu su, nyudu keran tabu jingye lo. Techen nengye yeshe chadu su, ngunzin tupe tima sadu su. Semni tetsum tawa chedu su, nyudu keran tabu jingye lo. Mimi Tsewe Dejin Cherezi Timi Gimbe Wombo Jumping Yon Tupi Mali Jumse Song Hida Kajan Gipi Tsukin Tsongkapa Losan Tabe Shanda Suwande Mimi Tsewe Dejin Cherezi Timi Gimbe Wombo Jumping Yon Tupi Mali Jumse Song Hida Kajan Gipi Tsukin Tsongkapa Losan Tabe Shanda Suwande Mimi Tsewe Dejin Cherezi Timi Gimbe Wombo Jumping Yon Tupi Mali Jumse Song Hida Kajan Gipi Tsukin Tsongkapa Losan Tabe Shanda Suwande Mime Zewe Dejin Chemezi Time Gimbe Wombo Jambe Yon Dupu Mala Jumse Songwe Dang Kanchen Gimbe Tsukien Tsongka Malo Sandrape Shanda Suwande Mime Zewe Dejin Chemezi Time Gimbe Wombo Jambe Yon Dupu Mala Jumse Songwe Dang Kanchen Gimbe Tsukien Tsongka Malo Sandrape Shanda Suwande Mime Zewe Dejin Chemezi Time Gimbe Wombo Jambe Yon Dupu Mala Jumse Songwe Dang Kanchen Gimbe Tsukien Tsongka Malo Sandrape Shanda Suwande Mime Zewe Dejin Chemezi Time Gimbe Wombo Jambe Yandu,
ไม่เจอเวทเจนเจอเวสิที่ไม่เข้มไปว่ามาจำเป็นอย่างเดิมมาแล้วจำเป็นสังเวยดังการจึงเข้มไปจึงยังจงกันมาล้อสังจำเป็นเช่นล้อสังเวยดังมีไม่เจอเวทเจนเจอเวสิที่ไม่เข้มไปว่ามาจำเป็นอย่างเดิมมาแล้วจำเป็นสังเวยดังการจึงเข้มไปจึงยังจงกันมาล้อสังจำเป็นเช่นล้อสังเวยดังล้อสังจำเป็นเช่นล้อสังเวยดัง ดูเจ้าดูน้ำเจ้าจึงจำยังเงี้ยน้ำบาเสลวัตเจ้าจึงยิ่งเกี่ยวดังเดชเชเวเกี่ยวดังฮักน้ำบาจึงเป็นดุขันเดรำจางชิงดึงเจน่าทอมเป็นนับเจนเชิดทบ้าจึงเงี้ยน้ำมีเมเจเวเดชเจเวสิที่ไม่เข้มไปว่าบ่จำเป็นอย่างเดิมมาแล้วจงใจสังเวยดังการจึงเข้มไปจึงยังจงกันมาล้อสังจำเป็นเช่นล้อสังเวย มีเมตเจเวเดชเจเวสิที่ไม่เข้มไปว่าบ่จำเป็นอย่างเดิมมาแล้วจงไว้สานิสังเวยดาการจึงเข้มไปจึงยังจงกันมาล้อสังจำเป็นเช่นล้อสังเวยเนี่ยมีเมตเจเวเดชเจเวสิที่ไม่เข้มไปว่าบ่จำเป็นอย่างเดิมมาแล้วจงได้สังเวยดาการจึงเข้มไปจึงยังจงกันมาล้อสังจำเป็นเช่นล้อสังเวยเนี่ยเป็นเดินสาวน้ำมันบ่เชิดดากินิงาเป็นเดินเดินชุนลาการเดินเชื่อมไปก่อนในเจสุนเดกุสุนทุกิงก็จะเจริญสุน เป็นเจ้าเวนามารุโมเจดากินิงาเป็นเดินชุนลาการเชื่อมไปก่อนในเจสุนเดชดันทมังโอดุจารุสุเป็นเจ้าเวนามารุโมเจดากินิงาเป็นเดินชุนลาการเชื่อมไปก่อนในเจสุนเดชชั้นจึงยิ่งบ่บาดเดือดเดือดบ้าชูเจริญคุณดูเกี่ยวกับสงฆ์เป็นเทเจ้าเสียงงูสุเจเบตุเกี่ยวกับเป็นหลังสันเตนิเลกิจสามยันดอบามาเกี่ยวจิง เกี่ยวกับคนดูอย่างนั้นละมาดอนเดมันจะเก็บแล้วน้องเจ้าชินสาดานามกินเดือนนั้นจะเนรโดยที่จังกิ้งก็ผ่านอยู่ท้องชูโดยที่จังกิ้งก็ผ่านอยู่ท้องชูโดยที่จังกิ้งก็ผ่านอยู่ท้องชูมีเมื่อเวทเจนเจเวสิที่ไม่เก็บไปว่ามือจะไม่ยังเดี๋ยวมาแล้วจงได้สังเวยดังการจึงเก็บไปจึงยังจงกันมาเพราะสันเดเบชันละส่วนเนี่ยการเดินจะทำให้ไม่เมื่อเกิดเดชินีดึงยอดเชี่ยการเดินจะทำให้ไม่เมื่อเกิดเดชินีดึงยอดเชี่ย
This is the end of Session 8. You have been listening to The Jetsun Kapa Retreat with Geshe Michael Roach, recorded live at Godstow, Connecticut, in December of 1998. To contact us on other courses available or for further information, please check our website at www.world.com/view.org.